I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is our recording going?
It sure is.
Hey. Roll call.
Counselor Anderson?
Here.
Counselor Lazier?
Here.
Counselor Stone?
Here.
Counselor Egbert?
Here.
Counselor Boggs?
Here.
Counselor Meyer?
Here.
Mayor McKnight?
Here. Introduction to media. Media here tonight. Announcements. Anyone wishing to speak before the City Council tonight on any subject matter will need to fill out a speaker form and turn it into the recorder. Forms are available on the signing table in the back of the room. Public comment, agenda items only. The purpose of public comment period is to allow citizens to present information or raise issues regarding agenda items only. There will be a time at the end of the meeting for citizens to speak about off-agenda items. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. All citizens must come up to the microphone. Please state name and address. I don't have any. Okay. Presentations, Chamber of Commerce, Chamber President.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council.
Hello.
How are you all today?
Good.
Well, as hard as it is to believe, it's September and the end of it, and man, I just, things are going so fast. We've had our, I'm going to get back over to the microphone to have this on record, right? There's like three or four there, two there, two of you, one.
Thank you.
So things are busy and we feel like it's been a good summer. We had the Hot Fun Run this month and it was well attended. It was over double the first year event of last year. And this year we had a great turnout and a lot of positive feedback, and we're pretty sure we could double it again next year. And just people just really enjoyed coming into town, and we got a chance to go in several of the businesses and see a lot of the sites around, and we were pretty excited about that. We have been contacted by the Oregon Audubon Society for a place to rent for an overnight stay with some conference facilities, meeting room, those kind of things, and recommendations on restaurants for early November. So Pamela's been working with them on that, and we're working with the city staff on the site ordinance. Had two meetings and one more coming up this week, and have some, I think, some good things that are going to come out of that. We're getting ready to do a volunteer appreciation event for the volunteers for the visitor center on the 10th. So we've just got a great crew of people, and we want to honor them and celebrate.
That
staff has expanded.
When is that? You said the 10th?
That's October 10th.
Is that an evening thing?
It's from 4 to 6. It'll be at the Rotary Event Center there. So if you'd like to come, anyway, it's a great time, and we'll have food. It's just meant to celebrate them. And we're getting ready to head into the holiday events and tree lighting and all those things. So that's really kind of mind-boggling to me. Looking at that already, but we are. And then you've got the budget in front of you through August. And generally, you know, the same kind of things. One thing of note that is different is down into the carryover funds, there was $1,000 that was spent on sample design. In conjunction with SDDI, we've been trying to come up with something to do with that blank space there on Central, that spot where the building had been torn down, and had permission from the landowner to possibly present, come up with something that they would be willing to give the city, you know, okay, you guys can use it for this kind of a thing. And so we had a wonderful designer from IE Engineering, and she's still wonderful, but she has some pretty over-the-top ideas, so we're in the middle of kind of maybe paring that back a little bit because it's a little overdone. So we're still in the process on that. Yeah, that's it right there. Trying to reel her in without spending too much more money anyway. Any questions?
Yeah, you mentioned that you work with city staff on sign ordinances.
They invited us. Forrest had mentioned it at one of, I think it was the last meeting that I was here presenting it, if we had input that we could do
good.
That. And so just getting an opportunity to give them some input from a business and chamber perspective. Yeah, we're kind of excited about that.
Okay, thank you.
That vacant lot's the one that's in between brick buildings?
Yeah.
Have you thought about putting like a wall up part way back with a mural on it? Or?
Yeah, there's been actually several ideas. She had a really great concept of design. It's just a little busy in the space itself. But for the back, you know, there's several different false walls you could put up there. Maybe something with a, you know, a door in it or even foliage. They have those walls that you that plants grow on. It's kind of like a wire structure thing that might be kind of fun to put there because that would be somewhat temporary. And if the back lot developed into something that we wanted people to be able to see or use, that, you know, could be removed. So absolutely, we'd kind of like to block that off to make it more aesthetically appealing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, just out on the front to make it look like a building.
A building or just a back, you know, something that would lend itself in there, even if it looked like a brick building with plants crawling on it or something. Yeah, that would be nice to be able to And also the traffic, we're not sure how much they want to be able to retain traffic flow from there, so that's all part of.
Good civic-minded contractor could build you a little deck out there.
And put some
I knew it was coming.
If he does, they'll have a golf cart on.
Yeah. I could have a duck thing.
Right, right now, we really don't want that, right?
Yeah, let's not go there.
Just saying.
I think it's a little heavy influence there.
Any other questions, comments?
We got anything?
I have comments. Henry, I met with John Heber about the sign ordinance, and he showed me the old one, and I wanted to pass that off to you.
Thank you very much.
He said it was enforceable, whereas the one that we have now is really not.
And there's a lot of verbiage in there. It seems kind of unwieldy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. There is one other thing that we are doing at the Visitor Center and the Chamber to try and maybe clean up our city. We get a lot of complaints about certain places around town that are rather funky and not appealing to the eye. And after talking with staff, we realized that those kind of things are complaint-driven. And so we want to be proactive and at least be able to respond to people. So we are giving them a connection, either, you know, a phone number and a name to call or an email where they can send those complaints on those places. So we're really trying to at least raise some awareness and let people know how they can be involved in the process also. So that's what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. The moment we've all been waiting for. Redesign update. Yeah. Wastewater treatment plant. Steve Major.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. We've been working on the pre-design report since
and tonight I'd like to present to the Council with the progress that we've made on it and actually show you, it's more like paper dolls, but you can actually see how the plant is.
Yeah, we lost it. We now have a blank black screen.
There you go.
Did I turn them off?
Chad, can you see
it? I might have turned him off. Yeah, I think you very well. I turned him off. Sorry, Chad.
I can see you guys.
This is perfect.
There we go. It was this little button right there.
Oh, darn. There you are again.
Yeah.
You turn the button here.
Yeah,
we do.
Three birds.
Three birds up
Okay. What'd you lose?
Colbert.
It was a board's sitting right on top of Jerry's too. But
oh, yeah.
Jerry took it.
He didn't want to see this.
I didn't know it was too cheap to buy his own.
Thank you.
Did he just publicly insult me?
I think so.
Gosh.
You know? It's okay. It's quicker.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure out something.
Yeah. I'm actually going to have a lot of fun.
It's actually not too bad.
With what you just said. When I see him tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be something
you can get on. I can go home so I can.
For now. Just wait. What I'd like to do first is go through the existing facilities and how we're going to utilize those existing facilities in the new plant. So, excuse me. To start out, you have your influence screening facility. We're going to keep that concrete structure. It has two channels. We're going to replace the existing screen, put two screens in, put in a stairway, excuse me, on the east side of the structure so that we can eliminate confined space so the workers can go down and maintain the screens without having to get ladders and harness up. The existing treatment units you can see here. Currently you have this tank, and that tank that provides your treatment. Those are going to be converted to aerobic digesters. And so we're going to do that on both sides. We're going to take all the equipment out, put in fine bubble diffusers on this side and this side, use your existing blower room here and the existing piping from the blower room that goes out to the treatment units for the air. And so then you're going to have about 10 times more of the capacity for treating your biosolids. I think from an operational standpoint, the city's going to utilize one side, keep the other as spare. I think from electrical costs, it's going to be too high to run both units. But you're not going to have to run both units because in your filter building, we're taking the filter out, putting in the biosolids dewatering. And so... also, we're going to utilize your existing chlorine contact chamber, and right now use chlorine gas. We're going to switch to UV and hypochloride, but you have to pump. There's three pumps in this room. You have to pump from this tank over to your irrigation tank, and then from your irrigation tank, it either goes out your outfall or you pump up to the golf course. So we're going to raise the liquid level in this tank, eliminate the need for the three filter pumps that you're using now. And then your irrigation tank, we're going to utilize that because it is connected to your outfall. There are three irrigation pumps. There are three irrigation pumps that sit in the building. We'll replace those, but they pump to the golf course. They'll also pump to Forest Pond. These two buildings are going to be eliminated. This fence line is going to be extended because we need this entire area for the new facilities. We received a geotech report of middle of August, and we did borings here, here, and up here. And what they found was you have about 25 feet of unconsolidated soil with a high groundwater table, and that's why all these buildings and treatment units are sitting on pilot. So we looked at several different methods to support the new structures. One was piling. One was geopiers, where they auger holes into the ground and put large rock in their like 5 foot centers. Or the third one is to preload with dirt, and then you remove the dirt after the ground is settled. And that's the option that we've selected. Because you can, it's the cheapest option. We've used it at other facilities. So what's going to happen is they're going to load this area up where the SBR tank is. They're going to load that up with about 18 feet high of dirt, which we can get from ports on property. We'll have to sit there for 6 to 9 months. There'll be settling plates that we monitor.
to make sure we get the required settling. Once we do, we remove the dirt and then you start constructing the concrete structure. Side of the building and up to new headworks, and at the headworks you're going to have grit removal and flow splitting to the four SBR basins. From the four SBR basins it goes to the summertime, it's going to go to the tertiary filters that sit here. Wintertime it'll bypass the filters and go to the UV process that sits here. Summertime goes through again UV. The city's going to inject hypochlorite to have a chlorine residual and will go into the existing chlorine contact chamber. Wintertime, we're not going to add any hypochlorite. We're just going to go UV directly into the irrigation tank and out your existing mouthfall, which heads out to the north and then eventually gets to California. Let's see if I can.
Does the sodium hypochlorite chlorination in the summertime help reduce the amount of UV needed? Is that the purpose of kind of combining the two?
No, it's just an added precaution with the Class A water.
Okay.
The UV will certainly take care of all the bacteria.
Uh-huh.
The effluent coming out of the tertiary filters is going to be, you know, like drinking water quality, so mm-hmm. it's really just to help with the outgetting regrowth.
Will the discharge location change?
No.
Are we going to put everything in Fort Bond as discharging, or are we still using the line that goes underneath the bridge?
In the wintertime, you'll be going just to the line underneath the bridge.
So it's
summertime. Actually, the summertime, we will use your existing force main that goes up to the golf course. It crosses the highway. Once it comes through the wetlands there, it crosses the highway, so it's on the south side of the highway. And we're just going to tee right there and run a new line to Forest Pond, keep the other line as it is up to the golf course. We are going to have to add an automatic valve at the golf course, so when the pond is full, that valve will close, and then the automatic valve at Forest Pond will open and allow the water to go there.
How do you control that? Remote?
Through remote telemetry.
Do we have that already at Forest Pond? Yeah.
You do have at the golf course. We're just going to have to expand it a little bit.
Okay.
And then, like I say, we're going to have to put the automatic valve on.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to put a receiving unit at Forest Pond so that it knows to open up the valve and allow it to pump the Forest Pond instead of the golf course. This gives you some relationships to how high the tank's going to be, how tall the tank's going to be, the relationship to your existing buildings. We're looking at this tank, the SBR tank, to be 21 and a half feet above existing grade. The headworks, where you have, again, the grit removal and the flow distribution, that's going to be another 7 feet higher. So that's going to be about 28 and a half feet out of the ground. Part of the reason we have the structure so high is we only pump once, and then we feed everything through the plant by gravity. These tanks, each tank is 38 feet wide by 95 feet long. So they're fairly good sized tanks. The flow enters the pre-react zone. There'll be fine bubble diffusers. There'll be DO probes hooked to VFDs and blowers. It's an energy saving control loop. We'll have mixers. In the summertime, you probably use one, probably two basins. It's not until wet weather flows that you actually use all four. These are decanters. They raise and lower within the basin to allow discharge. It's actually you have a floating bar here and goes into a trough and then out the tank. You have the decanters discharge to this box and this box, and then it goes to tertiary filters. Like say in the summertime, they'll go to the filters. Wintertime, we'll just drop, bypass them and go to the UV system. The UV system is a fairly new process. It's the type of UV, I should say, is a fairly new process. It's where the lamps are not in the water. The lamps are outside the atmosphere, and the water goes through clear tubes. And it's a lot simpler, a lot less maintenance, because you don't have to worry about cleaning quartz sleeves and you have to replace a bulb. You just pull the system up. And it's, they do have a system in Yakima, Washington, that's been in operation for about 7 years, and they just love it.
Is that Trojan?
No, it's called an Aqua.
An Aqua, okay. An Aqua.
What's the lifespan on those?
For the bulbs, with this unit, you don't have all the bulbs on all the time, so you save, the life of the bulb is, they say, like 10,000 hours. The bulbs that are in the flow stream all the time, those are on pretty much all the time, but you may have a rack of eight lamps and only two or three are on. So what they recommend is when the bulbs down below start wearing out, you just shift everything down and then put new bulbs up on top. Each bulb has electronics to tell you how many hours is on the bulb, and then that will show up in the SCADA system.
So it measures the level in the UV, because it's like a gravity flow through it, I take it. Mm-hmm. And then there's a sensor in there that tells you how many bulbs
it's automated. It'll also monitor the flow coming from the influent pump station.
Okay.
So when the flow starts reaching a certain level, it knows it's going to be hitting here in about 45 minutes, so it kind of forewarns it.
And it takes like 5 or 10 minutes to warm up.
The other nice thing about these bulbs is like 15 seconds.
Oh, really?
Instead of the 10 minute.
Okay.
You got the 10 minute warm up.
Yeah.
But these bulbs is like 15 seconds, so you don't have to worry about waiting for them to energize.
And I would imagine those valves, that the bypass valves, those are going to be motor actuated.
Actually, those are going to be
manual valves. Is there a benefit to doing that, or
just cost?
Okay.
The come on. What we're doing, since we're here, we're saving costs there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to spend a few dollars in your the new aerobic digesters, because each digester is going to have a telescoping valve with a motor on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have a pressure transducer in the bottom of the tank. Mm-hmm. And the city will be able, from a screen, tell it how much it wants to decant without having to go out there.
Okay.
I think it's going to be, certainly, that's probably worth spending some extra money on. Mm-hmm. Compared to just changing a valve or opening and closing a valve.
Which would be done seasonally once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what's... That just gives you another view. And that, they're going to be sitting about four and a half feet off the ground.
What kind of filters are those?
They're a stainless steel disc filter called Nova. They have been approved for California Title 22 reuse, which is the standard for Class A. This pipe here is a bypass pipe. We're actually going to put that underground and shift this over and up a little bit so we have better access into the irrigation tank. We're going to eliminate this distribution box here and just do it with valving, and there'll be an automatic overflow into the irrigation tank if there's a plug in the line. But again, that'll just be a couple of manual valves. You open up summertime, close it in the fall, and fairly simple operation.
Are there overflows in the SBRs in case?
There is not, okay. But the decanter is in a park position that sits below the top of the wall, so they act as an overflow.
Okay.
Also, we're using the SBR tanks for the... We have to design the influent pump station and the headworks for peak instantaneous flow, which is 9 million gallons a day.
Uh-huh.
The SBR and downstream facilities are only sized for 7 million gallons a day, so there's a 1 hour period where we have to store the difference between 9 million gallons a day and 7 million gallons. We're just going to do it in those tanks.
Yeah.
And so, based on flow meter flows, the SBR program will automatically adjust the height the decanters go during the peak instantaneous flow,
mm-hmm.
and then once they go through one or two cycles, then they go back to the normal flow.
Mm-hmm.
So during normal flow, the top water elevation is 18 feet. Okay. Bottom water elevation is 12.
Okay.
During peak instantaneous flows, the top water level is going to be about 18.7 feet. So it'll just adjust that 6 foot range.
Yeah. Okay.
We're really talking less than a foot.
Yeah.
But it's cheaper to do it that way than upsize the SBR.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
How many gallons does each one of those tanks hold?
225,000 gallons. A million gallons
between all four of them.
Yeah. We do have two new buildings. I'll show you the top of this one first. This is the new control building. We have three blowers that are dedicated strictly to the SBRs. One blower serves two basins, so you have two basins, and third one is redundant. You have three blowers, and these are 75 horse, so you have three blowers that are dedicated to the outside ring of your existing treatment units. One blower to one unit, they're 50 horsepower, so you got one blower to the north unit, one blower to the south unit, and then redundant.
You have a standby generator because all the new facilities are going to be on the new electrical service. And then this is the electrical room, and then there's just the office where there'd be a computer with a control system. The building's 30 by 80. This is a new shop building, which is 40 by 80. If I can get a... Also, you can see the building's going to be We have higher walls for where the lower room and generator are, and then we go back to 8 foot walls for electrical room and the offices. And then for the shop building, we're looking at 4 20-foot wide bays. Two of the bays will be open. These two will be open. These two, they have 12 by 14 foot doors, and they'll concrete floor and be able to work on rigs and store equipment there.
Those aerator pumps, where do they exhaust at?
The aerators?
Out the top? Or?
They'll be drawing air in, and then they send the air out to the tanks, and then it disperses within the tanks, and that's what we use for treatment, it's just air.
Well, is it the grinder pump that's making the noise down there now? On the back of the existing building.
Oh, the blowers. That's the blowers in here.
So you have very noisy blowers right now. The new blowers.
You tell me, I'm living right above that's why I'm wondering, are they going to discharge out the same way?
No. And when we did the plant tour, staff saw all the plants where we have blowers. In fact, City Yahas, we put the blowers right in their Public Works building. But all the blowers have separate sound attenuation enclosures. So Coquille, you actually have to feel the enclosure to see which blower is on. So they're very quiet.
Is there a louver on the outside of the building?
We'll still have to have the louver, but each enclosure also will have louvers and its own thermostatically controlled fan.
But there'll be a louver to the outside just to get the air that it
needs. To get the air in.
Yeah.
So the ones that are in the plant now, the new ones are going to be a lot quieter than the existing ones. And then we do have, which I haven't shown, right here is where the new influent pump station is. This construction of the influent pump station is probably going to be the most expensive of any item on the plant, because we're going to have to use sheet piling, drive the sheet piling a foot or two into the bedrock, which is like 25, 26 feet deep. We need to make that hole watertight so they can actually construct the wet well. But it's just going to. Like I say, it's going to be very expensive. There's really no other way of constructing that. And when you look at the overall plant, everything can be constructed while your existing plant's in operation. The day that everything's tested and ready to go, all we're going to do is run a pipe from your existing screening facility that's here, and it goes to the wet well that's over here. We're just going to have a pipe that goes right into the new wet well. And then put the new system online. Once the new system's online, then we decommission your existing system, take everything offline, get it ready for the new function. But it's very clean, and it's separated by having new plant first,
take care of the existing one, rehab the existing one after new plant's up and running. Mm-hmm.
What was going to go in the existing building where the filter is?
That's the biosolids screw press.
Oh, that's
dewatering unit.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have talked about using that area for other functions, but not only will we put the biosolids dewatering unit in there, we're going to expand the lab because we don't really need all those electrical panels that are in the lab currently. So we're going to expand the lab and then keep just bare bones for electrical panels, and then let's say all the new ones will be going in the new control building.
And then the chemicals are just going to stay where they're at as far as...
Right now, the city, we're waiting for approval from DEQ for the city to switch over from chlorine gas to hypochlorite.
Mm-hmm.
That will go in the existing chlorine room.
Okay.
And then there'll be a tank, a 4,000 gallon tank that sits outside, but that will stay. We're using the same feed system because we still want to feed to the chlorine contact chamber.
Yep.
So we keep that all intact.
Okay. Do you add any, and you might not have to do it with the new process, but like soda ash or anything like that as far as alkalinity or pH control?
If there was phosphorus and nitrate removal, then we would be adding some chemical precipitate to get it out in the precipitate before it goes to the filters. But since that's not a requirement in your permit, we don't have to deal with it.
Okay.
And then really, the requirements for that is all the summertime. Discharging, you're not discharging, that's why you're going to force spawn.
Yeah,
off course.
That's true.
In the wintertime, it just goes away. Let's see, let's try one more thing before I mess up. The other nice feature of this program, it allows us, as we design, to take the AutoCAD drawings and just put them in the drawings, put them in this. It's called SketchUp.
Mm-hmm.
And what that allows us to do is go underground and see the existing pipes. What you see now, these are all your existing pipes. And it is real busy between here and here. There's all kinds of conduits and process pipes. But it allows us to go underground, try to predict conflicts so we aren't surprised during the construction. This is actually shows your below grade pump station with pumps there. But it's just, like I say, it's just a handy tool for double checking as we go. If one to zoom out. I had the mouse, it's not a problem with the mouse, but it's working. So I'm trying to tell I'm not the tech person. Zoom out.
I think.
Yeah, but then you got to do a box.
Oh.
Let's see what we get. But I think.
You guys won't respond to the chair points.
There we go. So you can see, again, when we talked about how this will progress during construction, everything except for the influent pump station, it's all over here. For piping, and this picture doesn't show it, but it was a recommendation from staff to take this driveway and then run it around the back of the units to make a loop, which is a good idea because all the new piping and valves are going to be on the back side of these treatment units, so we don't have to deal with all the conflicts on the front side. So having that access, having to pay, is just going to be a plus. And that will happen after we get all these facilities built first. We're looking at the preload. Since that takes 6 to 9 months, we're looking at having a separate contract for that and doing that this spring. And then by the time it's settled, hopefully you'll be at a point where you can go out for bids for the plant and not have to wait that additional period. So really the preload that will go in this area can be constructed while the plant's still being designed. And we have talked with the local contractor, and we did have the geotech come down to look at the soils that are Forest Pond property. that material and work. The local contractor gave us a price of to excavate, haul, and place about $10 a cubic yard. We're looking at 17,000 cubic yards. That's a lot of material.
Mm-hmm. So where are you mining that out over there?
That'd be the hillside on the west side of the property. It's already kind of benched in there. There's been some digging. But should we take it out of there and then we're done, we'll put it back over there. The contractor had a good idea that would cut costs. Since we're, you know, basically just going perpendicular to the highway there, down Stearns Drive for a short distance, if the county and the state would allow us to use those large earth-moving vehicles, we could cut the cost to maybe $6 a cubic yard. Something to explore. Haven't talked about Everett Avenue Pump Station. We did do a boring there. The new wet well will be down in Bedrock. Also looking at sheet piling. Met with ODOT for the force main on Central. We can put it just about anywhere we want on the South Trail one. Because we're going to put in a new lane from the railroad tracks to Miller Street. And that will eliminate existing bottleneck and overflow, potential overflows with your where you discharge now on boat. So we're looking at having the draft of the whole report by the end of October. That gives the city a month to review and comment before we have to submit to DEQ. We have been, it's certainly been a benefit. We've been having weekly meetings with staff. We meet Wednesdays afternoon at 2 o'clock. It's certainly worth, and the whole staff, the whole wastewater staff meets. We show them, we get their input, we give them drawings, they get to review and comment. A lot of good work has come out of that input from staff on how these facilities are going to end up. Sometimes we do have to reel Brian in a little bit because he wants automation, but it was his idea with the digesters, which I think makes sense, and it's going to be nice to have those automated.
With your outflow lines going to Forest Pond and the golf course, where are we teeing in for another water outlet?
That's going to be on the site.
And are you referring to you?
To fill up a truck or something?
Fill up the truck or the neighbor's property.
There's already a pipe to the neighbor's property that terminates right at the property line. But as far as to fill a truck, that the exact location has not been set, but if we get the driveway in here, it'd probably be somewhere on the backside. And then again, maybe up front because we're going to be pulling out of this mm-hmm. irrigation tank, so it may make more sense to put it over here.
You what think is there existing line hook in that right now? There's a T that comes out of the plant right now, and where the two donuts are, of course, it goes west.
Goes this way?
Yep, and then there's an 18-inch line that goes towards Van Duce's property. And there, right now, currently, there's a 2-inch line off of that that has a gate valve on it. But we haven't really decided where that location would be to fill that.
Probably over here. But we're going to use, the key is we're going to use the existing reuse pumps. And you just have the one system that can feed the three different locations.
Are you thinking truck for us as far as like selling effluent?
Yeah.
Some?
Yeah, because it's Class A. Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we're utilizing an existing facility probably more so than what we have in other locations. Your structures are still fine. We're gutting out all the piping and pumps inside the operations building. That's a good thing. We can utilize your filter building, just about everything there we can utilize. We're going to keep your existing wet well as a drain and pump from there to the new wet well because you have a lot of plumbing that goes back to that wet well. There's also a line we may use for sludge. You have the filter pumps that sit here, and there's a line that goes over to the filter. We're looking at reutilizing that line to pump sludge over there so we don't have to put a new one in. So,
what's the what's your thought or your vision of the inside of the existing pump room now where we have all those controls, the pumps? Or is that still going to just kind of stay there because there is cost of decommissioning that? Or
that panel, I assume it's going to stay.
Okay.
The electrical panel stay. The we have to remove the pumps that go down into your existing wet well because that is a classified area now.
Mm-hmm.
The controls technically have to be intrinsically safe, exposure proof, if we kept the same arrangement. So we remove the pumps, put plugs in the floor, and it's good.
Okay.
We're going to use some of that electrical panel for the new blowers for the inner circle that are going to sit here.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to need the electrical panel for your irrigation pumps,
mm-hmm.
but certainly by taking out the filter pumps, your WAS pumps, all the other hydraulics and electric equipment in there, you're going to have some empty buckets.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, it doesn't make sense to remove the panel, just leave it. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of my, okay. Yeah.
Still need to talk with Douglas Electric to about a new service here, and we'll say, don't see a problem. You do have an existing generator here, which we'll replace and put a new one in. But again, that generator and that electrical service is just going to serve your existing facilities. The new generator and electrical service will feed all the new equipment. So, and you also have the luxury, which is huge. Not very many communities can screen before they pump. Huge savings in operations.
How do you connect those two buildings together then if you're having two separate services? You said you had two generators?
Two generators. There's a generator, be a new one here for just the new facilities, and then you have the existing generator for your existing
facilities. Wasn't that existing one pretty old?
We're going to replace it.
Oh, okay.
We'll put
downsize.
Yeah. Make it smaller, but replace it. And then we also. The city was concerned because you have louvers that take two or three people to have to remove to get the equipment out, the generator out, the blowers out of the room. So it's more than one-man operation, so we're fixing that by putting in new louvers that are on hinges, just like a double door. Just swing them open, get the equipment out, swing it back. But that's the type of stuff that comes out of these weekly meetings of concerns, how best to address them. Any other questions?
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I think, like I said, this is the first time we've tried using this type of program so staff and council can see instead of lines on paper, and I think you can actually see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Do I go to your house for your ranger furniture?
Sorry. Yeah.
You want Chad back over? Try not to shut him off. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
This doesn't really have to be a little bit more.
Okay. On the council business, we have council communications. I wanted to check with Chad. I ran into Chad at the conference, and remember I asked you to ask around to see what other cities were doing with this agenda item. Were you able to get any information there?
Yeah, so I was. Let me tell you sort of the way I approach this and make sure it's consistent with what you guys are thinking.
Okay.
I asked around, and I also sent an email out to, we have a listserv of all the city attorneys where you can make inquiries. And I basically asked three questions of people. One is, how do communications work when the council wants to communicate with staff? And what kind of communications get shared with the whole council, and what kind of communications are just sort of the one-off types of questions. The second issue was, how do you deal with communications that come into members of the council from outside the city? So whether it's a member of the public or an outside agency, how do you deal with those? And then the third question I asked was, how do you deal with communications with the city attorney's office, and what do you deal with in that situation? And I got mixed results in sort of discussing with people. how they do it. With the first one, dealing with communications with staff, the cities deal with it in two different ways. One is that it either has to be something that's approved by the council as a body, and then the staff is obligated to sort of answer those questions. And the second, which is really the more popular way, is that councils are generally free to ask questions of staff, but if it's going to take a certain amount of time, and people vary in that amount of time, then it requires full council approval. And those seem to be the two most popular ways, and granted, it's very unscientific research that I did, but those were the two ways that people dealt with that. With communications from outside the city, we basically broke that down into two different kinds of communications. One is in quasi-judicial situations. So you may recall, like in a land use type of hearing, there's a requirement that you actually disclose ex parte contacts in state law. So when you have those communications from outside individuals and entities in a quasi-judicial hearing, people are already disclosing those at the hearing itself. So at the beginning of the hearing, you may recall, the mayor will usually read a script and they'll ask for conflicts of interest, they'll ask for ex parte contacts. And in that situation, members of the council generally disclose what ex parte conflicts they've had. And that's uniform across the state. So in that situation, everyone makes those disclosures. With regard to non-quasi-judicial hearings, I couldn't really find anyone, whether in my own individual research, under the email I sent out to the listserv, or in talking to people at the conference, of anyone who had a requirement that counselors share information that they receive from outside sources with the rest of the council. Everyone pretty much said, we really leave that up to the discretion of the individual's counselors about what they feel is necessary and not necessary to share. There are some cities that, for public records purposes, do have a requirement with written communications, whether it's an email or a letter or something like that, that those get shared with the city recorder. So the city recorder then becomes responsible for maintaining the records consistent with the state's record retention policies. And in those situations, there's no requirement that those communications be shared with the rest of the council, but it is just a means to make sure that the city's compliant with record retention. So there's a requirement that the individual counselors or the mayor would share the communications with the city recorder. And that's pretty much the closest I found to anyone who made any sort of requirement that you share information with someone else in the city. As far as using the city attorney, there were generally three different methods that people used, and it was really a mix all across the state. The first one is sort of just leaving it to the discretion of the individual counselors and saying, you know, how do you want to use the city attorney? Will you call the city attorney when you want? And, you know, just make sure that you're not going overboard and everything works out fine. The other one is typically they require that you have to go through the city manager first and then to get to the city attorney, unless it's about the city manager, in which case you would go through the mayor to contact the city attorney's office. And the third method is that counselors are prohibited from talking to the city attorney's office without full council approval. So that's sort of the range of the issues that I was able to discover with regard to contacting the city attorney. I think Vicki and Diane may have sent a similar request out to the municipal recorders listserv, so they may have some more information. But before I sort of ask them about that, I would say the one consistent piece of advice I got from city attorneys across the state when looking at this issue, and I couldn't agree more with it, is that when you're thinking about what kind of policies you guys want to have, there is not necessarily a right or wrong answer. But just try to think of the policy in the big picture. Don't try to focus on solving a problem for one particular situation or one example of something that may have happened in the past, because that's often not going to lead to a good result. So, you know, so the advice that I received from numerous people was, to the extent that I could steer you guys into not getting in debate about who may have done what in the past and start pointing fingers about this is the problem we have to fix, just talk about the policy that you want in general, what's going to best serve you as a council, and that's going to make for a more productive discussion and a more productive rule. And so, you know, that made a lot of sense to me, and I thought it would make a lot of sense to share that with you. So that's the information I was able to find. I'm happy to answer any questions about my research. Also, I think it'd be interesting to hear from Debbie or Diane if they were able to find anything. And with that, I'll turn it back to you guys for discussion.
I failed. I did.
didn't get it.
You guys?
No.
No.
I didn't get the memo.
I forgot that I wasn't here today, and I couldn't hear the message, so I was going to get it from him.
Okay. Council, anybody got thoughts, or Karen, you have something you wanted on the agenda?
Well, the only thing that I'm concerned about is that when we have information that's given to a member of council that affects city business or affects a department or someone's responsibilities, if that message has to be communicated to a department head, to the city manager, if the city manager is not there, to whoever is taking the city manager's place, that's what I think we need to get clear.
On my behalf, everything that comes across my table, it goes to the city manager. I mean, I get phone calls, I get emails, I get letters, I get news media calls me. Everything I do goes through the city manager. And so, that's my direct line of contact. I mean, there's not anything that I'm involved in or meet with somebody or talk with that Jerry doesn't know about. So, and that's just a normal protocol for me. And I think it makes sense. And I think that's how, you know, I go about doing it. I don't know about you guys or what your thoughts are, but I mean, that's where I go with it. So I'm not.
If the city manager is not available or is on medical leave or vacation,
then you would go to the next person. I mean,
then it will go to the next person.
Yeah, it will just go to, you know, Debbie's, you know, whoever's in charge, you know. So if Debbie's appointed, I go to Debbie. That's what.
Doesn't the council decide that? Who the next person in charge is?
Yeah, so like, yeah, if you, you know.
No,
yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
If he's like, I'm going to sign a leave or something.
Yeah, then you would.
Yeah.
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 But like, I mean, I'm gone for a few days.
That's not what I mean.
I assign somebody to fulfill. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but
that,
other than that, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, my thought on that is that for questions in general, is the city manager first, and if he refers me to a department head, or I don't have a problem talking to the department head direct, but that's generally it. And then for legal questions, I'll still go to the city manager first and let him have opportunity to research the answer, because I'm not going to tell the city attorney on my behalf. I expect the staff to be able to find an answer. And
yeah,
they have to go to the city attorney. Well, good. I'm not calling myself.
Well, my thought is, I mean, depending on the conversation or the question, I mean, it could be a good chance to city staff. I think you need to give them a chance to try to answer it or see if they can. To me, it's just a cost saving. You know, they might know the
answer.
You know, it's just, you know, working with your staff and, you know, of course, it, you know, depending on what the topic is. I mean, you're talking about a wide range of stuff. I mean, and if you're not happy with that answer or something, bring it to the council. We can discuss it as a group. If you need to take it further, of course, Chad's here with us every Monday. But I just think first step is to talk to city staff, is my opinion. I think that's what they're here for. That's what they get paid to do. And I think you need to give them a chance to do their jobs. Anybody else? Or?
So what is going to be the procedure for the contacting the attorney?
Well, that's what I mean. I just gave my first. I gave my.
And if it's about the city manager, then
go to the mayor.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds fair to me. Right?
That
works for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Work. Good. Any other
issues? Council president.
Yeah.
No, if you want a paper trail, you would go to the city manager, and then there'd be a paper trail, and then he would go to the staff.
Yeah. That sound good, Chad?
There isn't a council.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, we have clients who do it every way. That is my preference. I think that makes the most sense, to be honest with you, from both a cost-saving perspective. And as I believe Todd or Tom was saying, I don't remember who, that, you know, staff has a lot of expertise, and a lot of times they can answer that question off the bat. then you know there's no sense wasting the money on me, frankly, if the staff already knows the answer.
Right.
So I think that makes perfect sense.
Great.
Well, I might add too, we also have listserv and can reach out to other city managers of other cities and ask them how they've done it first before they, we pick up the phone. So that's a, another layer of potential support.
Good. So we good?
Good.
On to the consent agenda. Minutes from September 14, 2015, regular meeting. Is there a motion?
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from September 14, 2015, regular meeting. Is there any discussion? Vote.
Councillor Anderson?
Aye.
Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
Aye.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Action items, general business, children playground proposal, call for staff report. Is that you? All right.
Okay, so we brought this up last time. And here it is again, to get your opinion as to whether or not you would be open to this type of financing for the park, so we could put it in the budget this year. I gave you a budget from park equipment, and it raised by $100,000 because of the splash park. but... and then there's a timeline, and you know, OPRD has money available, and I checked today, it's up to 40 to 50% coverage that they would be willing to participate in if we got the grant. So there's a grant we can go for. There's several other smaller grants, so we'll take a look at that.
Yeah, and me and Jerry met with the
same
people. Okay. I'm trying to get
OPRD, yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to, they called me a message today, probably
they
the same thing.
Help.
Yeah, they're sending emails out.
Yeah.
Perfect, okay, so that's...
I already talked to them.
Great.
Yeah,
so,
I did. So, I'm estimating that the total cost is going to be, it's kind of wide open, but it's somewhere between $150,000
and $300,000. Now, that's... The playground and the sprinkler.
And your sprinkler.
Yeah, I know.
Have you been down to River Forks Park to look at the new play area that the Rotary Club has?
No, I haven't.
You need to go look at that for two reasons. To see if we can put, if we have enough room to put in that kind of a facility, and just to see how it is, because it addresses disabled kids, and it's really a quality facility.
Yeah, I heard it was like
$400,000. Yeah. Is that the price tag?
He said last week. I don't remember.
Well, 300,000 to 400,000.
That what he said? Yeah.
Yeah, I can take a look at it. Sure.
But, that might fit in the existing area of the park we have now, maybe a little bit more towards the tennis court.
Yeah, our new plan is going to take up a little bit more than what we've got. But
I don't know about
much.
Where the splash park might go.
Yeah.
Well, the splash park would be small, so.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, no.
Yeah. We've got on the other side, over the timber drop.
There you go.
Cool.
So what we'd like to do is propose borrowing the money from the tourism and then paying it back at $25,000 a year or something like that.
For the match for the grant.
Also, you would borrow the money. You wouldn't take it from the tourism, because I had considerations about taking it. I did. That's not what tourism money is for.
My thoughts are... putting any money we have into our existing infrastructure instead of building a new park, personally.
Well, we're facing replacing those park equipment anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're all
dangerous.
Well, I mean, but we could do that, scaling this project down quite a bit, personally. I think that we could. I just drive across Central every day and there's potholes everywhere, and it's just frustrating to me. I think we can maybe focus our time and resources onto that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do something with if our toys are getting ran down. It's just, it just seems kind of big to me.
Well, my thought was that it'd be grant money and different things that are designed for that, so not taking money out of what you're saying.
There is no grant money that I'm aware of for street repair, and that's offering
on. You know, something like we could match and pay back the money. That's kind of, I understand what you're saying. We got responsibility with, you know, things like that.
The thing is, when we collect SDCs for parks, how much did you say? Do you know what your head is?
That's only for acquiring land, though. It's for maintenance.
It's construction. That's what we're doing the trail with.
Yeah, but it's for building new parks, facilities. Right. You can't use it to maintain.
You can't. Okay.
There's a perfectly good piece of land right over there next to Forest Park that would make a great playground.
Forest Pond.
It would. What are you talking about? This side?
It's the other side of Church Road. On the front side. This is a big parking area.
I think we should I'm kind of with Wes. Do we have things that have to be taken care of? Park is kind of what I want.
I know. And when I saw that price tag, is this what Karen wanted? Karen,
it is.
Shame on you.
I'm the one with two little kids.
Do we have a can drive or anything? Like Oakland, you know, they have the...
There's a lot of can drives in town, but they're not ours.
Well, I know, but... I've been told that before, is people don't know, they don't want to drop their cans off because they don't know what they're for. If we had a drop that was specific for this, you might get people that would put their cans in it.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of cans, too.
$1,000 a month over there.
Really?
Well, how much was the skate park?
A lot of beer drinkers.
The skate park was like
100 and something.
No, I don't know exactly what that was.
Before me, but it was paid for with a grant.
Oh, it was? I thought it was all paid for by
the company. I think it was a combination. Contributing was part of the match, I think. Is
that all you got, Vicki, as far as...
We just would like a motion that you would approve funding.
If there was grants available, stuff like that. So the money you're trying to borrow, is it just for getting the grant in, or?
For our match.
Yeah, match. For your match, yeah.
So we're talking about it at 40 or 50%, if the grant is 40 or 50%, you're looking for $150,000.
You would come back once we had our seats, or what we got awarded, or what.
Although we'd have to know what we're putting in there before.
Sure.
So we know.
Yeah. This is just kind of a, you know, if we go that route and if there are options that we're willing to use them.
I agree with that, but sometimes these things are slippery slope, and when we're only on the bench for two years, we might not see this again until later, and then it almost looks as if this was something that the past council wanted, and we're moving forward. And so I think there is a little bit of responsibility for us, if we're voting on this, to know, you know, this is moving, taking it to the next step. If we're going to take it to the next step, then I personally would like to see it scaled back some. But I'm just saying that a lot of times we move forward thinking, oh, okay, we'll get more details later on, but then later on it could be 8 months down the road or maybe the next year, and there's a new council thinking, oh, well, this is what we were going to do, we'll move forward with it. And that's not really the intent.
I think what we're looking for is just an opportunity to put it in the budget this coming year.
Exactly. I agree. That's exactly what we're
doing. Next year, then, you wouldn't have to leave it in the budget.
But once it's in the budget, then that's...
It appears as if it's... Yeah.
Jerry?
Well, I just wanted to express that this was my idea in terms of I didn't want to spend time putting energy into moving towards a concept if you didn't agree with that concept. The concept, as we're trying to describe it in the staff report, is this. Would you agree to allow us to spend staff time, almost 100% of its staff time, at doing research and analysis on what we could afford and apply for as many grants as we can and bring back a proposal to you that would have some form of financing package that would then be inserted in the next year's budget. If you don't agree with wanting to move forward with building a playground, whatever it be at this stage, between 100 and 300, now then we just assume, you know, end it. But if you still agree with moving and taking the next steps, we want to spend energy in working with Oregon Parks and Rec and other agencies, including the Ford Foundation and fundraising entities, to do some sort of combination package, whatever that may be, loan, contributions, fundraising, grant, that would be able to put something in the park that's better than what we have now in support of, and I'll conclude with one of your nine objectives that you identified you wanted us to do.
Yeah, you know, my thing is too is, I mean, you know, a lot of people get around, yeah, I got little girls, but I mean, a lot of this too is that, you know, it's an investment in the community and it's improvements. I mean, Karen actually brought up a long time ago about having a meeting place for parents and kids, and you know, I mean, there's just a lot more to it. I mean, some of the playground thing, the one thing it is kind of personal because my little girl did get hurt. I mean, you know, that old slide, and you know, some of that stuff is old and dangerous, and you know, and it needs to be replaced, or we need to do some upgrades. And I think people like to see improvements in parks. And my thing is just I like to see it explored, just to see what our options are. I said we don't have to move forward, and I think, you know, giving staff something, what Jerry just said, I don't want to keep going on and on, but that's kind of my thought is see what's out there, see what we can't do.
Well, another thing, do we know where we're going to be with the trail? Do we know what kind of money we're going to have to come up with to get to the trail?
We are done paying for it, but we haven't got our reimbursement yet.
Oh, okay. But it's done.
There shouldn't be any more expenditures.
So some of the there's not going to be like on the bridge.
There's still more to be done.
Yeah. Do you have the money for it?
We've already paid it.
We were just on the hook for the
$117,000.
The cap, there was a cap that we stopped at.
We're waiting for reimbursement, but we won't get it until it's complete.
We still have to do a crosswalk.
Yes, at some point. If that, I'm sorry, can I speak?
Sure.
Yes, if that, that crosswalk area becomes a legitimate safety hazard, we have special funds we can go after for that, we hope.
Well, to move this forward, I'd like to entertain a motion that we direct staff to come back with a proposal of the grants available, try to pin or tie this down to a cost that we can vote on at the next meeting.
We won't be able to do it at the next meeting.
Well, whatever.
But sometime between now and the next budget is right, when we want to do it, if that's right. Okay. Right. Sorry, I didn't get it.
We're not voting to borrow money from TRTHC at this point.
That wasn't in my motion.
No. Thank you.
Grant options. I second that.
Okay.
Okay, then moved in second to allow staff to explore grant options for children playground proposal.
I had one thing.
Sure.
That new tax we put on the motels at 3%, is any of that money made for this?
Right. Now, where I disagree, we've already had both Oregon Parks and Rec and tourism indicate that parks facilities that would contribute to recreation and visitors' usage of it does qualify for TRT funds.
So we wouldn't have to borrow.
No, you wouldn't, but you have a disagreement among yourselves. I'm only telling you that when we started this whole thing, we did look into that, and Andy Parks looked into that, and it can be used for parks facilities and jogging trails and products that visitors coming into the community would use.
So that will be part of your presentation?
Well, it may be one of the proposals that you guys consider, and that's up for you guys to discuss and debate whether you wanted to consider it.
Well,
for example, the visitor center, I mean, our community center is used probably 50% of people from outside the community, and so is the park itself.
Okay. And I remember that also, Jerry, but I think there was some discussion about the motel owners didn't really approve of the money being used for that.
I don't remember that.
Was that the whole 8% or just the 3%?
Just the 3%.
It was just the state tax. It was 5%, we went up 3% more. Tom's idea.
Well, no, it actually was because we were short on paying for the trail. I remember that.
Yeah, we needed some of the trails.
So we even actually talked about when the trail was done, moving it back to what it was.
Any more discussion?
I don't think we used anything. We actually moved it back.
Oh, okay.
It was voted down. We had it in the budget originally, and then it was moved out, and all went back to the TRT fund.
Okay.
Go ahead and vote.
Interesting. Councillor Anderson?
Doug, can you read the motion over one more time?
Good question.
It is a garble. To direct staff to come up with a proposal to explore grant options.
Yeah, okay.
That's how I worded
that,
it.
I agree with that.
Is that okay? Does that sound good?
That's a short
Councillor
version.
Lazier? Okay. It'll have the more improved version in the minutes.
Very good,
Wes.
Oh,
Councillor Anderson?
Aye. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
Aye.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, so on to reports. Is there anything? Doesn't look like negative. Double checking. Okay, on the city manager update.
I'm going to read a letter of apology to Floyd Bensicle. I wrote on August the 4th.
I would rather not that. This is not the time.
Yes, it is, Floyd.
It's required.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It was required, and the city attorney agrees with this. So,
it's
Mr. Mayor, I think it needs to be read.
I'm heretofore publicly reading a letter of apology to Floyd Bensicle, dated August the 4th, 2015, that I asked to have read to the whole fire department, and I'm reading it now for the city council and for the public record. Dear Floyd, I've been made aware that my comments meant in good, heartfelt appreciation and humor at our last city council meeting has unfortunately offended you, and that you are proceeding with filing a formal complaint against me. Please know how genuinely remorseful I am for having made any statement that offended you. I ask for your forgiveness. My purpose for using you as an example regarding burning out our volunteers was again out of genuine respect and appreciation for all that you have given to the city of Sutherland, and in particular, helping to assure driver training for others. How however misguided, using the burn comment as it related to my house, to me at that moment, it just seemed to match up with burning out our volunteers. I never meant to imply that I in any way believed you would burn down my house. In 40 years of military service, on a daily basis, as soldiers and team members, we would chide one another as a means of building camaraderie and relieving stress. I wish to apologize again for assuming my comments would be accepted in that same manner at a council meeting and using the burn verbiage as it related to my house. I hope you'll accept my apology.
City Council business comments. Remember, monthly meeting time is limited. Please ask questions or make statements that are likely to benefit the group. Individual comments and questions that can be handled on a one-to-one basis should be handled outside the meeting. Councilor Anderson?
None.
Councilor Lozier?
None.
Councilor Stone?
Vic Gaddock, thank you for fixing the pothole. Personally,
she did it herself.
She did it herself.
I noticed it right off the bat, so she's on the grass track.
Where was that?
Are we going to get an orange flag?
You know, I don't know. I meant to ask Aaron about it because he told me he ordered it.
No, on the freeway, there's one. Yeah. They took it down.
The big Oregon one.
Oregon always succeeded.
I'll double check with Aaron. He told me he ordered it, but it's been quite a while. So.
Okay. How did the meeting with ODOT go?
Okay.
Did they snub us, or?
Well, Jerry wasn't there, so I want to talk to Jerry about it, and we're going to follow up with another meeting before I share the information, probably, but. They were okay, but you know, the problem is the enhancement monies aren't there, so we're looking at something totally different now.
So they don't have any maintenance money for us on any of their streets?
Oh, maintenance. Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, we talked about that. They're going to look at Comstock. They haven't taken a look at Comstock, so they're going to. They've already looked at the freeway, the one going south, and it didn't. The numbers didn't come up to what they needed.
Well, I didn't know if we had any money in there to put an overlay over Central until we get...
No, they don't have any plans to improve Central at this time. No, and they said they'd be happy to come and share with Council, but I wanted to make sure we were done with all of our stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking, I've lived here for quite a few years, but I haven't seen them pave any of their streets that they've The CPI raise, we bringing that back for the water?
Yeah, we'll be doing that in October.
Okay.
Probably at our next meeting. We haven't finalized the agenda, but I would anticipate it.
Okay. And then what's happening with the trail? Is it about done?
Well, it's not due to be done until the end of October.
Right, but I was talking to one of the workers. He said he was real close to being done. So
they're not done, but they're close to being done. All I can say, they've still got a few more weeks.
Okay. That's it. Councilor Egbert.
Trent brought up at the water control meeting that we discontinued taking treating water out of Cooper Creek because of those stagnant water. Is that a...
I don't know.
Well, that, I guess there's two concerns. One of them is if Cooper Creek's bad and we can't use that plant, then how much water right do we still have on the Calabooza because of the drought situation?
Mr. Mayor, City Council, Brian Ely, Utility Department. Stay on.
It was.
No. Yes, we did shut the plant off, and I don't want to say the water's stagnant, but the last couple of years we haven't flushed it. Cooper Creek hasn't been flushed like we normally flush it, primarily because of the construction of the plant. so the manganese level is a little higher than normal. So the cost, because of the chemical cost, we scaled back, and because the demand wasn't there, we chose to shut the plant off.
But it would still be usable if we couldn't use the nonpareil.
Correct.
And I noticed that Ford's Pond is just about empty, and that the Murphy ponds are empty. And is this a drought thing, or did we drain these?
Ponds, the golf course are empty too. Oh.
It's evaporation, it's drought.
It's drought.
Yeah. We anticipated about, maybe 5 to 10 million evaporation out of Ford's Pond, and we're about 40 million gallons out of Ford's Pond evaporation.
In Ford's Pond?
No.
Councilor Boggs?
Nothing.
Councilor Meyer?
I wanted to pass these out to the rest of the council. They're what John Heber gave me. I gave a copy to Tammy. Anyway, he said, first of all, John wasn't even aware that there was a new sign ordinance, and I guess it was passed in 2007, but it was never given to him. But he really thinks that something basic like this, it's three quarters of a page, rather than something that's 12 pages long and is unenforceable and redundant. And I just think we need to look maybe at simplification. So I just thought maybe we could talk about that next time. You guys don't need to read that today. Then, Jerry, did you get some projects from Jerry, what's his name?
Brunette? Bruce Brunette. No, I did not. I didn't really feel comfortable at this stage asking him to prove his credentials at this stage. He's still in the middle of land negotiations with six property owners. I did talk to him today, and he did hint. I mean, we did agree that we're going to sit down when we do the RFP with the University of Oregon, that everything will come out and within the framework of that application. But one of the things he says, I'm not a normal developer. I'm a private person, and what I do is I want to control when I share information about things. But I didn't ask him directly. I didn't, quite frankly, feel comfortable asking him at this stage.
Well, until there's some city involvement, I don't think it's any of our business. He hasn't brought us anything. He hasn't asked us for anything. So just let the man do his business and hope he brings us something.
Well, but there is city involvement. There's time and effort for the city being...
Well, yeah, there isn't.
Well, his time.
There's nothing. Just his time.
That's what I do.
It's all private land. He's not asking the city for anything. He's not asking the city to give him land or anything yet. So I think... My whole career has been helping people develop and build businesses, and this is the worst thing that any council or any government agency can do, is ask for questions before they need to. And I'm serious, Karen, because you could lose this whole thing just by asking a simple question. Yes, now's not the time.
Well, the only thing that I had to compare it to was when Fred Rooney came down here, and we actually, before he came down here, we went up to his development and had lunch in a place that was in his development with him, and so we kind of knew where he was coming from. So I'm not trying to be antagonistic, I'm just trying to...
No, I'm just saying you have to deal with different developers or have different personalities, and this is one that is behind the scenes and doesn't want all the glory, and... I think we should honor his wishes and wait until something comes to us, and then we can ask the proper questions. And I'm sure he'll give them to you, but I still think now's the time to... He's not dealing with us. He's dealing with six property owners, and I don't think we should be involved in any of them.
The only thing I can say is he's, operated a company called Lionshead Development, and he's now formed Oregon Only, and he's hired... Heidi Albertson. She's his marketing director, and we've been working with her like we would any development. You saw the email from the trailer manufacturers looking at coming here with 170 jobs, and we're working with UCC. It's what we do. My only hesitation, and I'm not trying to be... I can't think of the word, insubordinate, is that I feel a little uncomfortable. We're on our fourth or fifth date, and I just feel like I'm not interested in asking her for how much her mother and father make at this stage. I want to kind of get more closer to engagement. And more importantly, I want the six property owners, Bruce, to, you know, kind of finalize the deal so we know they're coming. I talked to him again today. Well, actually, two times today, and you know, he said, I heard something about Roseburg thinks they're going to put in a convention center. He says, you go back and you tell everybody, no, that's coming to Sutherland. We are going to make this happen. And so that's what I'm going with right now.
I read that too, that Roseburg was thinking of putting in a convention center, and so that doesn't affect this. No. Okay, I wanted to ask if we could put on the agenda to talk about Troy Brevik and maybe making maybe being able to repay him for some of his living expenses or something.
I'm going to turn that question over to the city attorney, since it's a staffing issue.
My advice, I guess, to you publicly is to refer you back to the memo that our office wrote, and that contains the legal advice related to this matter. Certainly, we can have an executive session to talk about that in more detail if you want. Publicly, should the council as a body decide that it wants to expend any kind of money, it has the authority to do that, as long as there's a public purpose behind that. And then we could certainly come up with a public purpose related to this issue. So I would say if the topic is limited to that, it's certainly something the council as a body could discuss if it wants to. Anything beyond that topic, though, I would say we would want to go into executive session, with the caveat being, and I feel like I could say this publicly, knowing that under the charter, all these personnel decisions are vested with the city manager and not the council. So the council would sort of be not dealing with this as a personnel issue, but dealing with this from a different perspective, if that makes sense.
Right, and that was my thought. It's not a personnel issue anymore. He's not personnel anymore. So, but he did invest a lot of money to get here, and he's cut here, and he has... I'd like to talk about it at the council level to see if there's anything that we want to do.
I agree. I wouldn't mind if it was an executive session either.
Okay. Anyone else?
That's two. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
It takes three people to get it on the agenda.
I'm just getting other people's opinion.
I'm not in favor of it. Whatever the majority agrees. I mean, he came here at his own expense. That was his problem, not ours.
Did you have a pin or anything you want to throw in?
No, either way.
Tom, is there anything you wanted to say now? Or?
Well, we just stick our nose into the personnel issues. That's the city manager's job to deal with that.
It's not a personnel issue.
Always it is.
It was a personnel issue.
And you're right on the edge, right on the line there.
I don't
think it's a fine line.
So I guess, sorry to interrupt, I guess what I would suggest is maybe scheduling an executive session for the beginning of the meeting, and then if based on that discussion there's a desire for a majority of the council to then have a further discussion, we could move into an open session. But, you know, I think it probably makes the most sense to start with an executive session.
Okay. We will do that. Anything else?
Yeah, I have one other thing. I went and looked at the bridge, and I'd like to pass these pictures out to everyone also. The bridge down on
Okay.
about this bridge up here?
C Street?
Yeah, C Street. Thank you. And I've had three people contact me from this neighborhood. But what I want to talk about is the Scarborough property and the fact that one of those is for Debbie, is there
that
someone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's,
yeah. My understanding is that the city has told Mr. Scarborough that he should get a surveyor to survey the property that the city no longer wants or needs for this project and make a proposal to the city. Am I correct in that? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if I could add to this is that you gave us instructions in executive session on how to move, and we did that. And since then, he's come back and said, yeah, but would you consider, and I said, and I instructed Aaron to go back and tell him, of course we would. We don't want to be an obstruction. But I said at the end of the day, it's the council's call. I said I'd be happy to take it to council, and it's certainly a real property transaction that we can go into executive session to talk about. But what I asked him to do is present whatever he wants in writing to us, and then we'd hold an executive session, and I'd go in and seek your advice on how you want to do that. Because we don't want to cause him any disruption or harm if we don't need it.
Well, that was my thing. He's had this property landscaped since 1998. Why does he? Is there anybody on this council that thinks that we've got the bridge in now? Everything's done. Is Mr. Scarborough done having to take things down? Because my understanding is he was told he needed to still remove parts of the fence, still remove parts of this lattice, and I can't see any purpose to it.
Well, no, he was told that before through the letter. I instructed Aaron to say if he's willing and wanting to make an offer, put everything on hold until I can get counsel into executive session, and we can discuss this as a real property transaction in executive session.
So the city is going to make him. If he does not want to buy it, because we're talking about two elderly people, she's wheelchair bound and needs oxygen all the time, and I mean I have no idea how old they are, but they're an elderly couple. Do we need for them to go through any more assignations in order to satisfy the city with anything?
I don't know yet. Again, that will be a discussion with council in executive session.
Okay.
At the end of the day, it's your decision. And that's why I didn't want us or them to have to tear anything down at this stage. I wanted to be able to go back into council and ask council, you said to do this, take everything down, give them an October 1st deadline.
Right.
I asked that we just put everything on hold till I can take council back into executive session, reconsider that decision, and make another decision with regards to this property. And that could be sell, it could be just deed it over to them, it could be any number of things, but at the end of the day, that's a decision that we're going to want instruction from council.
Okay, can we set an executive session in order to make that decision?
Right, we're just waiting for his letter.
For his letter of what?
Mm-hmm. Letter of request. For us to do this. And I understand I've got one coming, according to Aaron.
Okay, because Mr. Scarborough told me that Aaron had told him that he has to take down some more sections of fence, then sections of lattice over here.
No.
And
I don't believe that. I mean, we talked about it. So if there was a misunderstanding between me and Aaron, I just assume if the bridge is in place and everything's in place, put everything on hold and let council look at and discuss and give us direction from here forward.
It looks to me like what you're trying to do is work with him a little bit on this.
Sure.
Because there's
right.
still stuff in the right of way that's could
right.
be taken down.
Right.
And you're trying to allow him to, so he's trying to work with him by
correct.
Not having him take it down.
Right.
And he's waiting for him to respond
with just a letter, in order to make this happen effective, I need him to make an offer to us saying, executive. So we've got something to discuss as a mechanism to go into executive session.
Okay, I see.
Can't we just, since out there elderly, you never know who's going to own the property next, can't we just put a letter in place that says that, you know, this is still city property and we have no plan of using that land, but it would still be city property?
That's an option. Again, something I think we need to discuss in the executive session with the attorney. But yes.
I am. Well, anyway, the trail looks nice and the bridge looks nice. The
picture looks good.
Trail's awesome.
There's been lots of nice comments on Facebook, too.
You're not supposed to go on
until
it's done.
I know. I would tell my wife and kids that.
Well, all right.
So there's people on
the trail.
Yeah.
Not done.
You got to ask everybody.
Yeah.
So we can ride a motorcycle down the
So on the sign ordinance that Karen submitted, is that going to come back on a gen item in the future, or do we... So you have that down the road. I want to make sure it's on.
My thought is that the sign ordinance proposals would go to the planning commission.
Okay.
And the planning commission would make a recommendation.
Then it'll come back to, yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that this gets addressed.
Yeah, so we're on a protocol.
So the chamber, Vicki, the chamber's just working with you to give you ideas.
So
they're not making decisions. They're just...
So that will come down. Got anything else? I don't have anything tonight. Public comment. The purpose of public comment is to allow citizens to present information regarding items off the agenda. Time limit of 3 minutes. First citizen shall apply. Nobody has anything? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.